Well, my name is John. If we haven't met before, and I want to welcome everyone this morning. We're going to have a little fun as we begin here. It's a bit of a competition. And so for all the ladies in the room who are moms or grandmas or an auntie or have a mothering presence in the life of a child as a, you know, close family friend where you're influencing children, I need all of the ladies that applies to stand up. I really do need all of you to stand up for a moment, okay? All right, stand up. Now, this is going to be a process of elimination, and here's how this is going to work. I'm going to say a statement that has something to do with interacting with children, and if it's true for you, remain standing, okay? So if it's true for you, remain standing. Here we go. It's a bit of a competition this morning. Here's the first one. You've answered the question why 27 times in a single day, all right? Hey, we didn't lose. Oh, we lost a few. Okay. There must have been 26 out there. Okay, here's the next one. You managed a bedtime without losing your salvation. Good. No one should sit down, theologically speaking, there. I got to tell you, I did a few bedtimes in my lifetime with some of our children. I'm pretty sure I came almost pretty close by the grace of God. So, all right, here's another one. Remain standing if this is true for you. Cleaned up something unspeakable without gagging. So the non-gaggers remain standing, all right? Hey, I'm impressed out there. That's amazing. They got some tough fortitude out there. Here's the next one. Remember that it was Spirit Day at school before arriving, okay? Oh, yeah, we did lose a few on that one. If you left your child at home, it's okay to leave church, all right? So here's the next one. Found the exact item a kid swore they were looking for, all right? Oh, yeah, we didn't lose any on that one. That's like an art form with children. Here's the next one. Made a meal that no one complained about, okay? Hey, very good. Man, oh, we lost a few. Okay, there were some laggers on that one. Okay, here's the next one. This is probably my favorite for the day. Slept in a toddler bed to avoid waking up the child, all right? Okay, here's the next one. Yeah, we lost a lot on that one. That's like my favorite. Okay, got through a whole week without forgetting a single pickup, if that's true for you. Okay, that's good. We didn't lose any. That's good. All right, and here's the final one this morning. Made it all the way to church or school and realized you had a barefoot child in your car and left the shoes at home. All right? Oh, yeah, we lost a lot on that one. Hey, give everybody a hand this morning. That's awesome. I think many of those are like universal, no matter who you are. You know, life is full of unexpected turns, and being a mom definitely has a lot of unexpected turns in life. And this morning, we are going to look from the God's word this morning, how to find direction in this life when life does take an unexpected turn. And we're going to learn it from an incredible person in the Bible. Her name is Naomi, and we find her story in the book of Ruth in chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And I'm actually going to ask everyone to stand again, just everyone together this morning. For the ladies in the room, you're like, man, up, down, up, down, up, down. You're getting your steps before you get anywhere today, getting your knee bends in and your squats this morning. So we're in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. We're looking at Naomi and her true story that God shares about in his word in the Old Testament. Here's how we begin. You can follow along on the screen if you want to. There's also Bibles in the seat backs if you're interested. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And this is a tough time in the land of Israel, the time of the judges. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, our star today, died, and she was left with her two sons. And then these took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Would you pray with me? Lord, the beginning of Ruth starts out hard. There's some hard life events being shared. And Lord, as this story continues, Lord, I know you're leading us to hope. And we pray your hope over all of us this morning on the journey that you have us on as we follow you in this life. God, we thank you for everyone you brought today, whether they're a mom or a son or a daughter or a friend, a neighbor, God, we thank you. And we invite you to work in our life, Lord. We cry out to you this morning. We just need you. We need your hope. And would you grant it to us today through your living word? Thank you, Jesus. And we pray all this in your precious name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Please be seated. It was fun seeing the baby dedications earlier. It's fun. Between the two services, I think we had 9 different families dedicating somewhere around 13 to 15 children. And it's just neat to see what God's doing in the lives of families and children. And we have the garage sale this week to help get some of our students to camp. And so you can bring your stuff all week long and or come on Saturday and buy a bunch. It's a big party on Saturday at the garage sale. You also can just give and donate to help send kids to camp as well. The series that we're in right now is called Real Life, Real Answers. And as we begin the beginning of the Old Testament book of Ruth, I almost feel like I have to have one of those like movie kind of preview warnings. It could have like an RL because it's like real life. This passage starts out hard, and yet God is really ultimately leading us to a celebration of hope. And so know that's where we're going as we look at a real life situation and that's where we get our answers from God is in those moments. Because as the book of Ruth begins, Naomi's situation starts out pretty dire, because here's what we learn first, is that she's living in the time of the judges. And for Israel, this is a bad season. There's no king, there's chaos in the land, and the judges were supposed to be ruling the people, but they weren't really doing a great job at it. Not only is it the time of the judges, though, but we learn in this real-life situation, there's a famine in the land. And famines are bad. They devastate people, they devastate crops. And so things are kind of turning for the worse for Naomi and her family. And not only is it the time of the judges and there's a famine in the land, but we also find out that she's in Moab of all places. And that doesn't mean a whole lot to us necessarily, but Moab, biblically speaking, for the people of Israel, would have a connotation in modern times like Auschwitz for the people of Israel. A lot of really tough things have happened to Israelites in Moab. And so as the passage begins, you have to ask yourself, why does Elimelech, this Israelite father, take his wife Naomi and family to Moab of all places? Because it appears that he chose to go there. And as you read, you begin to get this feeling, just this feeling like maybe he's making a poor choice in a bad situation that impacts his entire family. Because not only is it the time of the judges, there's a famine in the land, they're in Moab of all places, but we read in verse 2 that they remain there for 10 years. That's a decade, that's a really long time. And so not only is it the time of the judges, there's a famine in the land, they're in Moab of all places, they remain there, and then we read that Naomi's sons marry Moabites, which really was a difficult thing for an Israelite at that time for many different reasons. And then we find out that Naomi's husband, Elimelech, passes away, and she's left with her 2 sons and their Moabite wives in that moment. And Naomi's 2 sons have some really interesting names in the Hebrew. Mahlon means puny. All right, that's what it means. And I hope there's no Mahlons in the room. And Chilion, Chilion's name means pining. So you have puny and pining are the 2 boys in this passage. And then they happen to pass away as well. Talk about real life. She's living in the time of the judges. There's a famine in the land. They're in Moab of all places. They remain there. And she's left with the 2 wives of her sons, these Moabite local girls, and all of the men in her life have passed away. This is going from okay to worse to how could it get any worse? And to say it's an unexpected life turn would be the understatement of the year. This is real hard, and we often go through real hard things in life, which is where God loves to begin the soil of rebuilding hope in us as well. And this is what we read in verse 6. And then Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. And so she set out from that place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." And Naomi, realizing that she doesn't have any more sons to offer her daughters-in-law, realizing that her husband is gone and that she's in a very vulnerable situation and really has no way to help these young women, she says, "Well, stay with your people." And she's really showing just an incredible amount of grace over them. I'm skipping to verse 14. "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, these three women, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." And as you read the passage, there's this word that gets repeated over and over again. It's the word returning. And it's repeated six times, so in a short amount of space, so God obviously wants it to get our attention. And in the Hebrew Old Testament, the word return and the word repent in Hebrew are basically synonymous. And there's this wordplay going on, because not only is the Bible the inerrant, just amazing, living word of God, but it's also this literary masterpiece. And God is showing us really Naomi's heart and the motivation behind the choices that she's beginning to make in this really difficult, real circumstance, because she's going to return to Bethlehem. She's going back to where she's supposed to be. And you and I know that Bethlehem is the place where Jesus was born, centuries later. It's almost like God is already pointing to this greater hope to come for Naomi and for us in the midst of real life difficult things, giving us the first way to find direction, and that is to go back to the place of blessing in our life, even at great cost. And when I talk about going back to the place of great blessing, I don't mean like going back to your favorite restaurant and getting your favorite meal. I don't know what your favorite meal is this week, but I was out with a friend this week, and we went to Sumo's for sushi. Who likes Sumo's out there? I actually saw a few of you in there. It was kind of fun. If you go after 8 o'clock, they have happy hour for sushi rolls. This is like happy blessing time, all right? I mean, you get out for this low bill. It's amazing. But we're not talking about that kind of blessing going back to, even if it does cost you a pretty penny. We're talking about going back to that place in your relationship with God and with your relationships around you that renews you in the Lord, or maybe for the very first time in your life, helps you explore what the hope and grace of Jesus Christ is all about. And sometimes that means we have to return, and we actually have to turn our life toward Christ and turn away from some other direction that we were walking before as we turn our life to God, and he meets us in that moment. And sometimes that requires a great cost. And as Naomi's considering going back to Bethlehem, she decides, "Hey, I'm going to free up my daughters-in-law because I don't have a lot to offer them. I don't have any sons to offer them in marriage. You know, I don't have a husband to care for all of us," which made it difficult for them in their culture. And what she's doing is showing kindness to them by saying, "Hey, you two, Orpah and Ruth, you stay here with your people and your relatives where you're going to be taken care of." Showing us another way to find direction when we face those real life moments and life just turns unexpectedly overnight. And that is to bless others around you as you can along the way. When life gets real and it gets tough, one of the ways we find direction is we bless others as we can along the way. And it's like sharing hope as we do that. And that hope actually is contagious back into our own heart. Verse 8 says, "But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.'" And so this broken mother, Naomi, she's really hurting. She has been for a long time, really years. And yet somehow in her pain, she's turning her life and blessing other people around her. And in the end, Ruth, one of her daughters-in-law, decides to go back with Naomi to Bethlehem. And Oprah, no, not Oprah. It's awful close, though. A couple times this week, I accidentally said it's Orpah. Orpah decides to stay in her native land. In fact, Ruth basically says, "Hey, I'm going to go with you, Naomi, to Bethlehem. I'm going to return with you, and I want your God and your people to become my people." And Ruth, who is a Moabite, now is beginning to understand who the Lord is. In fact, at one point, she's going to call God Lord, and it's clear that in the midst of Naomi's real difficult circumstances, by the grace of God, she was having a spiritual influence on the lives around her. And I want you to know this morning. There are some of you in this room, you've gone through some difficult things lately, and you kind of wonder, like, how could God be using me to influence others around me? I find it is often those times when it's the most difficult and life feels the most chaotic that God is most using us, and we just can't see it in the moment. And I pray you sense the Lord's blessing over you right now, just in knowing that this morning. Because Naomi's being a spiritual influence on them, and Naomi sees that Ruth is serious and that she's going to go with her, so she lets her come. She's blessing people as she can along the way. I talk about my growing up years all the time, and I've shared before, but this is new to some of you, how about somewhere near the end of sixth grade, we got that call in our house that my dad had been in a car accident. And he got a taxi home, and right away, my mom could tell, although he was physically fine, he wasn't okay. And so she wanted to take him to the hospital. And I have never forgotten sitting in the second floor window of our house from my bedroom, looking outside as my dad leaned on my mom as she was going to take him to the car to take him to the hospital. And basically, he was in the process of suffering a massive stroke at the age of 40. He would end up being completely paralyzed on his left side. He would be wheelchair bound for much of the rest of his life. And to talk about an unexpected life turn, it was an unexpected life turn. And that image of my mom supporting my dad as he leaned on her has forever been cemented in my life. In fact, in many ways, I would tell you it's almost symbolic of how, as a family, we have leaned on my mom for all these years, and at that time, in the midst of a lot of chaos of things going on. And yet, I would tell you that among our relatives and among my friends growing up, man, my mom, Nancy is her name, she was known as a person of blessing. You couldn't come to our house and not somehow be blessed by Nancy. It might have been food. That's always an easy one. Well, not always. Especially when life is real, huh? Sometimes it was just her asking these insightful questions because she really cared about our friends. And I would tell you that somehow my mom, in the midst of all the craziness that was going on in our family, she somehow got us to church most Sundays, not every Sunday, but most Sundays. And that meant getting my dad into his wheelchair and all kinds of stuff going on involved in that. And the older I've gotten, the more I have just come to marvel at the woman of blessing that she was in our family in the midst of chaos. And yet, as I've gotten older, what I've come to realize is that in those moments for my mom, they were absolutely real. They were not easy. They were not always fun. They were extremely difficult. And yet, somehow, by the grace of God in that, she blessed her family. And I pray you hear that this morning. God is using you out there, no matter who you are, in the midst of your real life. We can't always see it. Verse 19. So the two of them, Naomi and Ruth, went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley party. And if it was real hard in the beginning, this is where it becomes real, a whole lot of hope. That wasn't a sentence, but that's what's happening. And those of you who know the story, you know this is where we begin to see the hope that God has been building behind the scenes, giving us another thing to do in the face of unexpected turns, and that is to be honest about our situation before the Lord, before others, and even to ourselves. Because Naomi, she comes back into Bethlehem, and Bethlehem wasn't like Ventura. It was this little village at the time, barely even a town. And all these people are in a stir. They're like, is that Naomi, who used to be married to Elimelech? And who is that with her? You know how small towns talk. And then it says in verse 20, and she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? The name Naomi means sweetheart. The name Mara means sourpuss. It's this bitter root that they would eat. It's very, very bitter. And Naomi says, hey, call me the bitter one. Don't call me sweetheart, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And as you read that, you almost think, wow, it kind of looks like Naomi's calling out God. Almost like she's cursing him. She's being very real. That's why I love the Bible. But she's actually not cursing God. She's actually just being real. Before God, before the people around her, and to herself. One of the greatest tools of healing in our life before the Lord. And as the story of Naomi points out, it doesn't have to be the end of the story. We serve a God of healing. Everyone say amen. Amen. We serve a God of creation. We serve a God who actually brings life out of dirt in the creation story. And as 1 Peter 4:19 states, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. And so we serve a faithful creator, the great garden maker, the one who would bring paradise out of nothing, the one who heals blindness with spit and mud, the one who brings life out of death through his son, Jesus Christ. And no matter how hard or real or unexpectedly life turns, it is often in the soil of that difficult thing that God is growing the seeds of hope in us, even sometimes when we can't see it in the moment. And when we feel like horseradish, for lack of a better word, in those real life moments, it's okay to be real and to say to God, man, this is a bitter time. I need your help and I need you to show up and to be honest with the people around us and to open up about the challenges and even bless others along the way by doing so. In fact, I want you to hear from a couple in our church family that is blessing others as they share some of the challenges they've been facing. This is Sean and Kiara and Barry, and this is a little bit of their story about their daughter, Kaya, who came into this world a little bit early, and some of the challenges that they have been facing as a family. And so why don't you watch their story with me.
Hi, I'm Kiara Barry.
And I am Sean Barry.
And we recently, in February, had our baby daughter, Kaya. Kaya is our first child, and during my pregnancy, I wanted to do, everything right. So if the doctors recommended that I didn't do something, I was trying to be the perfect pregnant woman. I just knew that I was gonna have a great pregnancy and an easy delivery. So this was not what we envisioned. I ended up delivering Kaya 11 weeks before her due date. And so she was due April 30th and I had her on February 13th. And she has been in the NICU for 83 days at the time of this filming. We don't have a discharge date quite yet, but she is doing well, and we hope to be home very soon.
God is definitely teaching me patience. Mm-hmm. That is something that I think I struggled with beforehand, but I'm being kind of forced to learn it now. But to just be patient and kind of have a lot of trust. I like to control things typically. And be in control, because then I know what's going on and I feel like I have a hand in it.
And oftentimes we feel very helpless as parents, so putting our trust in God is the thing that's getting us through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. sometimes more difficult to accept some days than others, but that's just what we have to do, and we have to be strong for our daughter, because mm-hmm. and she's like the strongest mm-hmm. person I know, which is so funny to say about a newborn. Like, she's so inspiring, but she really is, because since the day mm-hmm. she was born, she's been fighting to get healthy. And so we're really proud of her. I know our situation may be, kind of unique. Not everybody has an extended NICU stay or an immunocompromised, a medically fragile child. But I think what I've kind of taken from this is everybody goes through experiences in their life where you are questioning why, why me, why my family, why my, mm-hmm. is this happening to my child? But I think, like we've learned through this, is you just have to trust God's timing, His plan, keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you will get through it. I know, looking at us 83 days ago, I remember telling Him, like, I'm not gonna be able, I cannot live at a hospital. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. And now, 83 days later, we're doing it. But we always come back to, okay, we're just gonna trust God on this, and He's gonna get us through, and He has. And mm-hmm. I know that we're not out of the NICU yet, but I know He will. We know it.
Can we give a hand for the Sean and Kiara? As of today, Kaya is 87 days old. She has been, if you go by her due date, actually, she's just a little over a week old. And she was 2 pounds, 11 ounces when she was born. She is now over 8 pounds. And she's a precious girl. Yeah, we give the Lord a hand for that. We'd ask you to be praying as an entire church family for little baby Kaya. She just needs the strength to be able to completely eat on her own so that she can come home, and that's really the big prayer request right now. And I know that Sean and Kiara, they're on a journey, and they're learning as they go, but they were wanting to share just in case it would encourage someone else, and I know they encouraged a lot of people. So even as we breathe a prayer for Kaya, I say we give the Lord a hand for this family. So, in Naomi, I see a person who is authentic, and who is real, and who is turning toward the Lord and trying to bless others out of her challenge. And it really is how you begin to know that you're getting past the initial shock of a real life thing when we begin to let God work in us through it. And because Naomi does, and one of the things that you see is you see this happening for Naomi, because she doesn't always get credit for this, but she actually does everything right. She returns to the place of blessing in her life, even at great cost. It is no small thing to go from Moab to Bethlehem. She blesses countless people along the way as she can with what she has to offer, graciously. She's absolutely real before the Lord and before people. And then we read one of the greatest little verses of hope, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And so Naomi returned at the time of the barley harvest. This is a good time in the land of Israel. Things are starting to look up. And that word beginning is a creation word, the beginning of the barley harvest. It's like we can live with some expectation. God is going to make something new in this. And we read, now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him and those whose side I find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And so she set out, that's Ruth, and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And there's this great phrase in verse 3 where it says, she happened to come upon the portion of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was a relative of her mother-in-law, Naomi. As one Bible scholar put it, it's like saying she chanced upon chance. It's not a coincidence. It's so random looking that you have to know it's on purpose. And then Ruth asks if she can pick up the extras of the harvest left behind, because Jewish law said that the people growing the crops had to leave some of the barley behind to feed those who were in need. Boaz, who owns the field, who's related to Naomi, comes on the scene and he says, hey, who is that woman who's collecting the barley over there? And we read in verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they're reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? She's from Moabite. But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And Ruth, along with Naomi, is taking some steps of faith herself and following the Lord, and God is going to bless her. And there's so much in this passage that I'd love to share, but I'd need about 5 more Mother's Days to do it, because there's so much richness in what God's saying in all of this. Because Boaz says, hey, Ruth, don't go to any other fields to pick up after the harvest. In fact, he says, you took care of my relative, Naomi. Now let me take care of you. And he tells his workers not to bother her and to actually look after her. And they would have bothered her. She was a Moabite woman in a different land. And then he cheats the system. He tells his workers, hey, leave out a bunch of the barley extra for her. And Ruth gathers like 5 days worth of barley in one setting. And she goes home with all of her spoils. And Naomi is waiting for her anxiously to return at home. And we read in verse 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, that's Naomi, where did you glean today and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. And Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Naomi says to Ruth, hey, tell me everything. I want to hear about your day, every piece. And then Naomi hears that it was Boaz's field. And she tells Ruth, he's one of our closest relatives in the area. He's one of our redeemers, one of our protectors. And you already see it in Naomi. She's looking for God to bless. She's been through it all, and she's looking for it, for the blessing of God. And remember what she's coming out of. Life has been the pits. It's been beyond real. And it's been a long time. And it's been difficult. And she's faced discouragement. She couldn't even go out and get her own food. And Ruth, being the person she was, goes out and collects the barley for them and works. And through all of this, Naomi is turning towards hope in the midst of it all, which in many ways is the expectation that God is somehow going to bless. And sometimes it is right now. And sometimes it is tomorrow. And sometimes it is ultimately in heaven. But it is that hope that enables us to endure as we lean into the blessing of the Lord. And it leads us to the final way to find direction, and that's to turn toward hope and trust God to bless, to turn toward the hope that only Jesus Christ can give, because God loves to bless in the most unexpected ways at the most unexpected times. The middle of verse 20 in chapter 2. And then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness is not forsaking the living or the dead." And Naomi's trusting in the kindness of God, even in the loss that she's lived through. And it's only when we allow that touch of God on us that we begin to let God do that in us again. When we're facing something real like that, that to have that God-filled hope. And I'm not saying that life will go the way we want it. It often does not. But what we begin to fill us with hope is that we begin to realize that God is walking with us and Christ is walking alongside of us. And the story of Naomi and Ruth continues, and with Naomi setting off with this crazy, crazy concoction of an idea to get Boaz to notice Ruth in a greater way. And so Naomi says to Ruth, "Hey, Ruth, you're kind of cute. Why don't we wait till Boaz is a little bit loopy, and then let's see what happens. And remember what time of the year it is. It's the time of the barley harvest. What do you use barley for? It's a time of celebration." And we read in chapter 3, verse 6, "So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law, Naomi, had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and turned over." And this is one of those places where I need all of you to say "behold" out loud as you can. When I get to it again, I'll lead you up to it, all right? Here we go. "And at midnight, the man was startled and turned over and..."
Behold.
That was almost good. I'm going to do it again. I need you, all right? "At midnight, the man was startled and turned over and..."
Behold.
"A woman lay at his feet." I mean, wow, what's going on here? You know, some of you aren't familiar with barley parties. Here's what you need to know. It's a time of celebration, and there's a little drinking going on. And let's just say you should stay on the threshing floor and not drive your chariot home after a barley party. And the Bible says that his heart was merry. That's Boaz. He's in good spirits, literally. And what happens next is love at first barley party. It is. To sum up the events that follow, Boaz tells Ruth that he'd like to marry her. And through a crazy series of events, they get married. And the book of Ruth, as it's becoming to a close, tells us that Boaz marries Ruth, God blesses them, and they give birth to a son. And in the very last verses of the book of Ruth, you see Naomi surrounded by a group of people praising God together because of his kindness and his goodness, because this chance upon chance event, everyone can see, was nothing less than the hand of God. And Naomi is this faithful person, and she's upset because life is hard. It is real. And I would argue she blesses out of her bitterness, or maybe even despite it. And she ends up with a baby in her lap from Ruth. She walked through great pain, and she leaned into the blessing of God. And in the midst of that, her shattered dreams become recovered different dreams. And it is often in those places of real life where we lean into the Lord. It's in that soil that God loves to grow his hope in a way that is greater than even our understanding because of what he's doing in that moment. Because God is at work even when life turns unexpectedly. And the power of these events is this, is that Ruth becomes the great grandmother of David, who becomes the king of Israel. And then ultimately she becomes, this is Ruth, the great, 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 and a whole bunch more great, 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 greats, and some more greats, grandmother of Jesus, our Savior, and our ultimate hope. And so when life turns, go to the place of blessing that will renew you in Christ, maybe for the very first time, even if it costs you everything. And bless others as you can along the way. And watch what God does, even when you don't know it's happening. And be honest. Be real before the Lord. Be real with those around you. And finally, turn toward the hope that only Jesus Christ gives in moments like this, because he will carry you as you come to him. Let's pray. Lord, I just have this sense today, Lord, that there's just some people in the room today that just need to know that your blessings over their life, and that they are blessing others, even when sometimes the chaos seems like, how could I be? And I pray your grace and mercy over all of us today. Lord, I don't know where the different ones of us are. Some of us are at the real life part, Lord, that's hard, and some are looking back at the blessing. But Lord, we look to you no matter where we are in that journey. And we give you the glory this morning, and we pray for your hope over your people in only the way that you can give. And we just declare our love to you this morning, Jesus. We absolutely love you, and we thank you that we get to go through real life with you, and that you are the answer, the ultimate answer. Thank you, Lord. Amen.